Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink.
Yo, remember yo. Back on the bully when cats used to harmonize, yeah. Like, yo, yo, my men and my women, don't forget about the dame, this is not the most the king, yo, it's about a thing,
We are headed to Washington, D.C. in order to chat with Lauren Paler. She is probably one of the most impressive people that I've ever spoken with since I've been doing this podcast. And I've spoken to a lot of, well, people who've impressed the hell out of me. So I think Lauren is going to impress you as well. Not only is she a bartender and a brand ambassador, but she's also a mentor with Speed Rack, which we've talked about, the women's competition, bartending competition. And she is part of the Restaurant Workers Community Foundation, working towards social justice, working in hospitality. And she is one of the co-founders of Focus on Health. She's going to talk about all of these things and also the wonders of the ukulele. So just sit down and have a listen.
Let's just get rolling then, since we're both in slightly compromised Wi-Fi situations. I always like to start these things off, but by the way, your glasses are awesome. I love those. Those are so cool. Introduce yourself to everybody who you are, and then tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll do a deep dive because there's so much to talk about with you.
Sorry, my car is making noises. It's going to stop in a second. Awesome. All right. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Or Lauren Paler, based in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm really excited to be here to chat with you all, a bartender by trade, owner and co-founder of Focus on Health, do social media for Speed Rack. I'm on the committee for the, you know, Restaurant Workers Community Foundation, their social justice fund. That's a mouthful. Yeah. I cannot say that any faster. and also a FARGE trainer, and we focus on teaching bystander intervention and de-escalation strategies. Wow. To the food and beverage.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's a handful. How do you do all of that?
I don't know. Who knows?
Well, let's talk about Focus on Health first, Lauren. Cause I follow it on the social media, on the Instagram, and it's like every day you guys have these really cool graphics, like this great, like newspaper headline. It's the Daily Expo and something for people to be aware of that's coming up. It might be a training session that's geared towards, bartenders promoting themselves, you know, learning how to write for your social media, or it's a wellness thing. It's like mental health issues, like all of this. So how did Focus on Health come to be?
Yeah, sorry, unmuting is hard sometimes. Technology. So Focus on Health started as a pitch that Alex Jump, the co-founder, actually made for the most imaginative bartender competition in 2019. And she was going through her own personal journey with health and wellness, as I was as well. And I reached out to her because I saw what she was doing on social media and immediately wanted to get involved. So I reached out and I said, "Hey, what's this all about?" And she took the time to explain, and I was kind of ready to do something very similar. So I said, you know, rather than us both do two different but very similar things, why don't we just put our heads together and do this together? So we did, and I intended to actually fly out to Denver last March, and then COVID happened, so that did not occur. Mm-hmm. So it's funny, up until a week ago, we had not seen each other since we launched Focus on Health. So we had a reunion last week, but So what it started out as and what it is now is completely different. Initially, our plan or our idea was focusing a lot on how we can stimulate the minds of the food and beverage industry, especially at a time where it was very necessary and needed. And then that transitioned into how do we, help put money in their pockets by giving them different ways to contribute and collaborate with what we're doing. And now we're really focusing on the rebuilding. So how do we, create content provide resources and programming that really focuses on steps to take when rebuilding the industry, or just, you know, extending a helping hand in a way that really guides them on the next steps when looking at what the possibilities are for what they could do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hospitality has been through a lot in the last year. I mean, everyone's been through a lot, but the hospitality industry has been really battered by everything closing down, everyone losing their jobs. And those who were fortunate, I put in quotations, enough to keep their jobs, had to put up with policing as well, policing their clientele, the customers that were coming in and having to be on the front lines of, you have to wear a mask and potentially putting up with abuse related to that and stuff like this. Is this something that is kind of working in your rebuilding strategy there? Is that something that you guys are trying to address too?
Yeah, so I am I'm a trainer with Safe Bars. It's an organization that was founded in Washington, D.C., and focus on just that, de-escalation and bystander intervention strategies. So we're hoping to be able to work very closely with Safe Bars to integrate that into some of the trainings that you'll see us doing. With that rebuilding, we're focusing on, we're going to be transitioning out of doing as much virtual content as we currently offer, mm-hmm. so that we can really ensure that all of our employees are very well-versed and, trained in all of the subject matters that we will be discussing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do have a lot of virtual content, I noticed. Where does that all live? Where can somebody go to rewatch one of these training sessions? Are they available?
Yeah, for sure. So everything that we do is either available on YouTube. Most of it is. However, in those rare instances, you are our bigger events. For instance, we just did a virtual flair bartending competition with Patron. Something like that can be found on our Facebook, because what we do is we stream it live and then it's readily available there for viewing.
Very cool. But people can still go back and get some of this. It's so fluid right now. Things are changing so much. But I love that you guys have a de-escalation. You mentioned that at the top of this. De-escalation training in there. It's so vitally important right now. But it's kind of crazy that we're finding ourselves in these situations where we need to learn that, as well to deal with customers. But at the end of the day, hospitality, we're there to make everybody happy. So, I mean, it's kind of just our second nature, and that can take a toll too, wanting to do the best and having someone point out that you're not, having some client do that. So there's a lot of mental stuff, involved for all of us in hospitality too. So it's great that you guys are doing this, but you also said you were involved in the, it was the mouthful one, the restaurant stuff. Was this Ivy Mick's brainchild? This restaurant group?
No.
No? Is something else?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, though. So the Restaurant Workers Community Foundation, John DeBerry is a big one behind that. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. I restaurant professional based in New York City. And the organization itself did a lot of fundraising during COVID to really step up and support the hospitality industry. So what I do with them is I'm a committee member for their social justice fund, which actually just started this January. So it was a great honor to be asked to be on that committee. And we're essentially going to be collaborating and discussing ways in which we can really give back and break down the barriers that prevent many people in the BIPOC community from being able to excel in the restaurant world, whether that's front of house, back of house, whatever it may be. So that really is what our focus is going to be. And then funding organizations and institutions, man, I can't speak today, along the way.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I mean, I did notice in looking at Focus on Health, how diverse the feed was, you know, and
yeah,
that's something that, especially, you know, in the last year, we're used to seeing a lot of the same faces pop up in the hospitality industry when you're talking about rising stars or current superstars or, you know, mentors and all of that. And I have, you know, you work with Speed Rack as well. And Speed Rack was kind of an earlier iteration of this sort of thing, just bringing women to the front, you know, making women more known in the bar community. And now it's not just women, now it's BIPOC too, you know, it's bringing in people of color and women, because it's more than just white dudes with beards and tattoos, you know? So talk about your Speed Rack work.
Yeah. So for Speed Rack, what I've been helping them primarily with is social media and then assisting with the curation of their virtual programming. Mm-hmm. I was able to help them with their current mentorship program, which I'm so proud of. They worked, I mean, this has been in the works for almost a year, and they just implemented so many amazing and very thought-provoking systems and programs and education. And I think the thing I really love about it is I have the ability to come in and really help them ensure that this program they created was truly keeping the people who were a part of it safe. Mm-hmm. You know, we were catering and advertising this in a way where we felt, with all of the disparities that exist with the BIPOC community, we didn't want this to be another thing that they apply to and they're able to take advantage of, but we're not properly educating the mentors on how to address, you know, address their biases, for instance, acknowledge the language that they use, etc. So our hope, and what we've seen is great success with this, but our hope in general is not that this translates specifically just to what they're doing here, but can be something they can take away from this experience and use elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But it's been fun. It's been so much fun.
I can tell. When that mentorship program launched, my feed was just flooded with women who are like, I'm being mentored and I'm proud to mentor. And I was like, this is amazing, you know, just connecting all these women all across the country so they can share these experiences and learn from each other. And as we know, you know, raise each other up. And that's something that is so important. And Speed Rack has been so great at that. So it's just, it must be so much fun for you. You're a mentor, aren't you? You yourself?
Mentor. My mentee is out in Minneapolis and she's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's funny, you know, I think when we think mentor mentee, it's often someone who is older than as a mentor. But realizing along the way is there's always something to learn and there's always something to give. And it's just been an amazing opportunity for me to learn a lot more about what I want to do and the ways in which I can give back, which is really important to me.
Oh, absolutely. I always say when I do these interviews that I always learn something from the people I'm talking to who are older, younger, from wherever, because it's a big world and we all have had lots of experiences. And this comes up a lot when I talk about music stuff. And because I've worked in the music industry for a really long time. And so people assume I know everything, but I do not. Like, I do not know how to play the ukulele, which I know is something that you recently started to take up.
Yeah.
I get that you're in your car, so you can't play for us. But why did you get yourself a ukulele?
I'm so sad I don't have it.
It's okay. We're not in the ideal situation today for ukulele playing, but why did you pick up a ukulele? What was the inspiration there?
Yeah. So my boyfriend grew up in Hawaii and he had a ukulele in the house and I was like, do you know how to play this? And he turned to me, he said, no. But one favorite songs is Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Mm-hmm. And I decided I wanted to learn it for him for our anniversary.
Someday you wish upon a star, wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like lemon drops, high above the chimney top, that's where you find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, and the dream that you dare to, oh why can't I?
Yeah. So I learned it and along the way really fell in love with it. It's a beautiful instrument and it, I mean, it's so easy to learn. I started playing last year around the summertime and we're slowly approaching almost a year of me playing it. Haven't played often as I'd like to because I've been a little busy, but
yes.
It's so therapeutic.
I mean, a friend of mine who played ukulele professionally used to call it the four-stringed devil with love. She said that with much love. But she was like, you can't hear a ukulele song and not feel happy or moved, you know, because it just
immediately, immediately happy. And I realized along the way, you know, it's funny, you think about music and at least for me, music is just so therapeutic.
Yeah.
It's really amazing that these individuals who created these songs and, you know, or even just instrumentals were driven by very strong emotion when they were creating what they were creating. And they're sharing that with us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've talked to musicians too, where they recognize that sometimes once they put a song out into the world, it's not theirs anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's ours.
Into,
you know, experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we attach our experiences to it and then it kind of changes for us. Mm-hmm. Did you ever play an instrument before the ukulele?
I tried to play guitar when I was younger and I was pretty good, but then, you know, you don't stick with it, you lose it.
Yep, totally. I have the same guitar I've owned since I was 8 sitting back in this office because occasionally I pick it up again and pretend like I know how to do something with it, you know? What was one of the first songs that you wanted to play on guitar?
You know, it's funny. I'm a huge Led Zeppelin fan. Huge. So any Led Zeppelin song I was fine with. And then I was going through a phase where I was like, I'm going to be, you know, the black female Prince. It's going to be great. And realized Prince played like every instrument on earth. And yep. He was just a mad beat.
Totally. He does. You can't be Prince. It's much too intimidating. And he played all those instruments by the time he was like, I don't know, in high school or something.
He was ridiculously young and just successful, which to me is just such an amazing thing to dedicate your life to music, you know, but like really dedicate it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What Prince song would you want to learn to play if you had suddenly all the skills at your behest? What song would you want?
Purple Rain, Super Bowl. Come on.
We played Let's Go Crazy at my wedding, so.
love that. But Purple Rain Super Bowl was a beautiful performance.
Oh, it is the best Super Bowl performance of all time, in my opinion.
I agree.
I think there's a quote attributed to him that when, you know, it was raining before the halftime, you know, and they were like, it's raining so much. Do you want to do this? Do you want us to do something? He's like, can you make it rain harder?
Well, okay. So I was watching a documentary with my boyfriend a couple of weeks ago. And a fun fact, when he was performing at the Super Bowl, the shoes he was wearing were, if anyone else was wearing them, they would have slipped and busted their booty. Yep. It was very slippery. He had like 5-inch, 6-7-inch heels on. And after I heard that, I looked at the video. I was like, how did he do that?
Just the consummate performer. I mean, I can't wear heels like that on a good day. You know, I would fall.
Exactly.
If I walked out of my front door and had to take 2 steps, I would fall over, you know?
Exactly.
That's amazing. So we were talking before too, you were saying you were a 90s kid. So your music tends to lean towards that stuff. I mean, Prince is undeniably cross-generationally incredible, but you know, it sounds like 90s was kind of when you were really getting your music on.
Yeah. So it's funny, you know, I think there's a debate going on. I was born in 92, so I'm not allowed technically to claim the 90s as everyone keeps telling me, whatever that's about. But, you know, of course I was into Destiny's Child and NSYNC, right? Mm-hmm. But, I love me some Tevin Campbell, some Lauryn Hill, Janet Jackson, and Vogue, Escape, Boys to Men. I could go on and on. Tell me when to stop.
I just found out recently that doo-wop, Lauryn Hill's doo-wop, was the first hip-hop single to reach number one on the Billboard charts. And not only was it the first hip-hop single, it was a female who did it too, which is like, whoa, I had no idea. I figured something must have hit number one before then, but nope, it was doo-wop. That was the first song, first hip-hop song to be number one, which is kind of cool.
That's really
cool. Yeah. Ms. Lauryn Hill. I think she's formally changed her name, so it's Ms. Lauryn Hill now. So during your bartender days, did you ever make cocktails and such based around any drinks? Did you ever get inspired and do like a doo-wop cocktail or anything like that?
I never named cocktails after songs, but I definitely used lyrics as inspiration the same way I would be inspired by like the art. You know, again, I think I'm such an emotional being. I'm a Pisces naturally. That's just something that happens.
So is my brother.
But I think
you guys well.
Already now. I think I'm very drawn to individuals who are expressive. So music and art definitely draws me in, and I can use that as inspiration. And as I've been able to become a little bit more familiar with like craft cocktails and established myself as a bartender, I've been able to get really creative with what it is I've been able to make behind the bar, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when did you first start bartending? When did you get into this world?
Yeah, I started in 2014. I actually was attending nursing school prior to transitioning into food and beverage. And, yeah, I frequented a bar called The Passenger in DC and was there because one of my good friends was a server. So I would go there because I could never do homework unless I had I had noise in the background. Like there was no way that I could complete any task without noisy background. So bar was naturally the best place. I'd be there pretty late doing my homework. I'd order a chicken sandwich and a Coke because I wasn't 21 and I wasn't able to drink. And I soon found myself going there less for me doing my schoolwork and a lot more because I really enjoyed watching the bartenders behind the bar.
Mm-hmm. And then you had to be a part of that whole scene.
Oh, yeah. This is awesome.
So that was 2014. You sort of just fell in love from the outside of that industry and then got inside. And now you're not bartending anymore, right?
I actually stopped in 2020 in March when COVID kind of, you know, came upon us. I didn't know how else to word that. And I stepped back, but I do bartend often because of my work with Seedlip. For events.
Let's talk about Seedlip, because now you mentioning that you had initially gone into nursing, you know, just puts a whole new lens on your work with wellness and health and all of this, you know, that you have that part of you as well. And Seedlip, for those who aren't aware, is non-alcoholic, like gin sort of, right? I mean, it's a line of non-alcoholic spirits.
Yeah. So the best way to explain Seedlip is we are the first non-alcoholic distilled spirit, which is exciting. And I really love the product for several reasons, but we have three primary expressions and each of those are made with six primary botanicals. So we don't like to compare them to spirits rather than really lean into the flavor profiles that they provide. Okay. So we have a garden, we have a something called Grove, which is our citrus expression, and then we have spice. It's amazing, and we're really leaning into ensuring that we can provide amazing experiences to folks who want to just go into a bar and not necessarily have an alcoholic beverage. You know,
yeah, and this is something that the industry has was working on before COVID, and after COVID, we'll see what kind of moods people are in when they go out to bars again, but. I loved that the low ABV and these drinks that were becoming available so that, I mean, I have a friend who I went to France with her a couple years ago and she was staying there for a month and she has been sober. Let's see. I think at this point she's like 26 years into her sobriety. And so she's like, what do you want to do when you're in Paris? I'm like, well, you know me, I want to go to all the bars, but you don't have to come with me. I don't want that for you. You know, I don't want it to be awkward for you. And she's like, dude, I work in the music industry. I'm around this all the time. So she went, but you know, we went to some places that could nail making a beautiful drink without spirits in it for her. And some places that are like, we've got ginger ale, you know? So it's lovely to have such wonderful options, and it makes everyone feel included, which is the key to hospitality, I think.
It's so important.
Yeah. So this is wonderful. So when did you start working with Seedlip?
Yeah. So I started with Seedlip in October of 2020, and it's been an amazing time. I'm really enjoying it.
That's wonderful. It's really great. And you've been able to train people and everything, I'm sure, virtually on all of this.
Absolutely.
So let's see, you have so much to you. I want to make sure that we talked about stuff. So we have Seedlip so that this is something that, you know, we can focus on people taking care of themselves. You focus on health. You have the social justice aspect with restaurant stuff. What else? The mentorship program. I feel like there's something we're leaving out though. Is there? No? Yes?
No, that's really it. I mean, there are a couple of other things I do here and there, but those are my primary, jobs and those are my primary gigs. And, I'm like, yeah, you know, just a few things. No,
yeah, seriously, keep yourself busy, you know, while the world is locked down, talk about being productive. You know, a lot of people are just trying to binge watch something on Netflix.
For sure. For sure.
And teaching yourself ukulele in the process.
Gotta love the ukulele.
But yeah, so, when this is all over, well, however long this takes. And by this, I mean COVID, of course. And I mean, how's it going in DC right now? What's the mood out there? Are things starting to open up or?
You know, we unfortunately lost a lot of bars and restaurants due to COVID. However, we're at 25% occupancy right now, hoping that it expands in the next few months as more people get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Spirits are high. You know, DC is one of those cities that is big enough where you're always meeting new people, but small enough that you know everyone.
I lived in San Francisco. It was like that too.
Especially with food and beverage. So, it's a very humbling time. And it's really beautiful to just see how people have just like really prioritized leaning into community and working together as much as they possibly can. Mm-hmm.
And what about that statehood thing? Let's get DC to be a state, man.
I'm here for it. You know?
Sure. For sure. You guys deserve it more than any other state.
Not bad at that.
So for you, when the world opens back up, what do you think you're going to be? I mean, how are you going to spread yourself amongst all of this? Are you going to focus on a particular focus? Is that focus on health, or are you just going to keep on taking care of everything?
To be honest, I don't really know, but I know it will involve travel because that's something I miss dearly.
Oh, so much, so much. What's first on your list to travel to?
We're going to go visit, hopefully, with, ensuring everyone's, comfortable and safe. I'm hoping to go to Hawaii with DJ to visit his family.
Yay! Oh, that's so wonderful. I would love to be on a beautiful beach right now. I have friends in Oahu, and I'm like, please, can I just come and stay at your house? I promise I'll wear my mask when I go outside. we're just waiting to see how everything shakes down there, because Hawaii kind of got... People were not kind to Hawaii during this, I noticed as well. They were taking their diseases with them to an island, not realizing that it's tricky for folks on an island, you know? It's not cool. Not cool. I have another question for you. When you relax, and when you find a moment with all these things that you do to relax, what do you listen to, and what do you drink?
Yeah, I'm not drinking right now. A lot of seed lip drinks, which is lovely. I'm a big fan of anything that's bitter. So a variation of Spagliato of some sort makes my heart very happy. And I really enjoy reading, and I've been leaning into, the world is a crazy place. This is the best way to put it. And I think what I'm trying to do is educate myself on issues that my community primarily is dealing with so that I can be a better advocate, specifically with social justice. So I've been spending a lot of time reading books that talk about race, that talk about privilege, that talk about systemic racism. So I have a better understanding of how those terms are actually put into action and then ways they can be dismantled.
Oh, super important right now. So important. You have a soundtrack for that?
It's funny. My song of choice nowadays is This Is America. And I know that's probably so cliche. It is a damn good song.
It is not cliche at all. At all. I create playlists for a living still. And I put that on, it was Black History Month. And I'm like, this is a protest song. And this should be a timeless protest song. Because what he's singing about has been an effect. Yeah, it's been an effect for ever. And I don't see it going away soon, but we got to start chipping away at that stuff. So, let's wrap this thing up. I know we both have questionable internet connections right now. but thank you for taking this time to talk to me. And before we close it up, I just wanted you to rattle off the Instagrams, the Facebooks, the websites, whatever people need to go to learn about stuff, maybe focus on health first, since that's a big initiative right now.
Yeah, for sure. So Focus on Health, you can find us at FOHEALTH. And our website is fohealth.org. If you're interested in some additional information on what we have coming up, what we've done on YouTube, you can find us at FOHealth as well. We try to keep it nice and easy so that you can just find us everywhere. Mm-hmm. If you want to check out SpeedRack, it's speed_rack. On Instagram. For our website, I'm going to have to cheat here, man. keep all the things in the back of my head. It's speed-rack.com. And let's see, let's give a shout. My personal page is LP Drinks DC. Yeah. The Restaurant Workers Community Foundation is RWCFUSA on Instagram. And then it should be RWCF.org, but let me check that.
so much, but we'll have this I'll have this info in the podcast description too, so that people can find it.
It's the restaurantworkerscf.org for the Restaurant Workers Community Foundation, so not too far off.
There you go. Oh my god, so much. Thank you for all you do. I really appreciate it, and thank you for your ukulele talk and all the other stuff, and I'm going to let you go.
Again, much, much thanks to Lauren for taking the time to talk with me. We both were experiencing our own technological challenges. The power was out at my place, so I was doing this over a hotspot link, which is why my vocals are not as beautiful as they usually are. And she sounded fantastic because she was doing it in her car. And if you've ever recorded anything, you always sound great in your car. It's a wonderful soundproofing for the most part. But I wanted to reiterate a couple of the Instagram links that she threw out at us. Hers, Lauren's personally, is LPDrinksDC. So go look that up if you want to follow her. She has links to some of her other stuff. Also, the Restaurant Workers Community Fund, that is RWCFUSA on Instagram. And then, of course, Focus on Health, FO Health, and a lot of those have similar websites attached to them if you want to look it up that way. But thanks to Lauren for talking to us. I personally learned so much. And like she was saying, and I've been saying on every podcast, I cannot wait to travel and get to Washington, D.C. and visit this girl and see what's up. She's going to be doing some wonderful things. So keep an eye and ear out on all of her links so that you can be educated and see what's up. And thanks again. Oh, wait, she has a Spotify playlist too. You want to make sure that you jump on over to the Facebook page to get the link to that. It's a good one. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, S-H-E-B-M-O. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.